Network. New thinking, city ablaze, island on fire, homes burned to the ground, toxic train derailers, all affecting properties, lives. Shall we call for help? No. How do we monetize this? Seriously. Schwab and the WEF telling you you will own nothing and be happy. Tell you what, Klaus, you lead the way. If you think we're kidding, it's sad, but it's true. And you know what? We're the Truth News Network. And with the hard news is Dan Newman.
Well, let me give you some really hard news to give you right now. Something went wrong in our system. And the obvious part that went wrong is in the studio main microphone channel. I have no idea what's going on. Nothing was changed in the settings. I went back 3, 4, 5 times and reset them just to make sure. But obviously, listen. I've never sounded like, I sound like I'm talking to you from the bottom of a garbage can. Hey, I've got a couple of important things I want you to hear, and we're going to get this straight. We won't get it straight before the end of the show today. We're going to make it a short show, but I've got several things that I want to get in the way of information to you today so that you can go through the weekend kind of having an idea of some of the things that are happening very quietly. Many of these things have been hidden, and they don't want us to see, and of course they're trying to hold off from letting us see until the election in less than 2 weeks. That plus the fact that a lot of it has been going on and they haven't necessarily been trying to hide it, you know, kind of like the mental condition of the current president of the United States. Nobody in the White House seems to have ever noticed there was any cognitive decline in the way of Joe Biden fulfilling his office as president. Until, of course, we found out in that debate, that only debate he's done with Donald Trump in this election cycle, he's way, way, way down the road on the way to some kind of horrible mental stuff, and it's coming from physical stuff. We know that. Nevertheless, it is what it is. One of the things that very few people are talking about, and please forgive the voice, folks, it's in our system. Have no idea where it came from or where it is right now. When we set up every morning, we've already set the entire show up, most of it, before about 8 o'clock Central Time every morning. We check things like this. I came in the studio and checked the studio mic. I looked multiple times. None of the channel microphone settings have changed. So I don't know what the heck is going on with this, but we're going to get through this little stinky thing with my voice just to give you some information. Did you know Vice President Harris once sponsored legislation to totally dismantle the Department of Homeland Security's ability to even detain any illegal aliens? The plan would have had more than 20,000 illegals released from the agency's custody into the U.S., and I wish it was just that now. But this happened way back in 2018. She joined Representative Premia Jayapal, Democrat of Washington State, sponsoring what was known as the DONE Act, D-O-N-E, Detention Oversight Not Expansion Act. That was a plan devised to dramatically reshape immigration detention, limit the power Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, currently has to detain any illegal aliens. ICE's indiscriminate approach to immigration enforcement continues to sow fear and anxiety in communities across the nation, and strict oversight is long overdue. That was in a statement Harris made at the time. Among the most radical elements, Harris's DONE Act would have banned ICE from expanding its immigration detention, regardless of illegal immigration levels. Kamala Harris has been tight-lipped about her plans to enforce federal immigration laws, but the name of one of these proposals, the DONE Act, is telling. Now that is R.J. Hallman, president of the National Immigration Center for Enforcement. Interior enforcement would in fact be done and nullified if she becomes president. Another piece of her plan would require DHS to cut detention of illegal aliens in half. Think about that. At the time, Congress funded 42,000 ICE detention beds. 42,000. Under Harris's plan, about 21,000 illegal aliens would have to be transferred out of custody. And where would they go? Oh, they'd be released into the U.S. interior with some, nothing specific put in the bill, but some federal monitoring. And they do such a great job monitoring these illegal aliens. How about the 400 to 500 that are here that we found out after they came here? They're on the FBI watch list. Her Dunn Act would cut detention space as criminal aliens continue to roam free, ensure detention is no longer mandatory for any illegal aliens, and actually prohibit the detention of illegal aliens deemed vulnerable by the DHS secretary, which is nothing but a rubber stamp one of her nominees is sure to use. And who would that have been? Alejandro Mayorkas. Harris's plan would have reopened former President Obama's family case management program. What that did was funnel social services like pro bono legal assistance, medical care, public school enrollment, public transportation, and housing to migrants released into the U.S. interior. While Harris has yet to mention that she's sponsoring the Dunn Act while on the campaign trail during this election cycle, her record in the Senate and before that and before her presidential campaign included fierce opposition to even detaining illegal aliens. In 2019, when she was running for the presidency in that first primary that she dropped out before it happened, Harris told the crowd in Iowa City she would close immigration detention facilities operated by private contractors who work with DHS. And she said this, "When you become president, would you be committing to close the immigration detention centers?" That's what a voter asked. Harris, absolutely, on day one, on day one. The ACLU estimated that about 9 in 10, 90% of the illegal aliens held in DHS custody are housed in these privately owned detention facilities. That stat indicates Harris's prior commitment would see about 90% of illegals currently held in DHS custody would see them just let go, because that's what that Dunn Act was going to do. Now, that's the one thing I wanted to tell you about. And if you're listening to this and you're hearing my robot voice, there is something in our system that happened between 8:50 and 9 a.m. Central Time, happened to the main microphone. I don't even know if the other channels are going to work. So why don't we try one of those right now? Let's try this. Some things I really wanted you to hear, dadgummit, and I can't believe we can't hear my voice correctly. Maybe you can hear the story of Hillary Clinton. She's comparing Donald Trump's upcoming rally next week. Big rally in Madison Square Garden. They don't have big political rallies there. Why? It's really darn expensive, for one thing. And the other thing, parking is bad, and typical Trump crowds, you know how the overflow and stuff is. But anyway, he's going to have this rally there. And Hillary said, this is the exact same thing that Nazis did in the United States at Madison Square Garden in 1939.
And you know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it.
So I don't think we can ignore it, she said. What would she be meaning by that? Well, Nazi, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, they did this very thing in 1939. And of course, we know, I know Donald Trump. I know who he is. You know how I know who he is? Because I say I know who he is. I want to thank the listeners that have stuck this little vocal thing out. And we're going to cut the show short here in just a few minutes. But I have another couple of things I want you to hear about. You're going to love this one. An official at DHS, Department of Homeland Security, that's Alejandro Mayorkas's place. This one official has been promoting illegal immigration into the U.S. He's using platforms right before your eyes, like YouTube and TikTok, to provide advice to these border crossers. That's right. His name is Wilson Osorio. He's listed online as an associate counsel with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Office of the Chief Counsel. We reached out to Department of Homeland Security to confirm his employment and for comment. They confirmed his employment, but they won't comment on the report. What appeared to be Osorio's YouTube and TikTok accounts, right after this phone call, they all of a sudden became private on both YouTube and TikTok, and his LinkedIn profile has been removed. What do you think that could be about? Now, how did he use them? How is he using them now? Just because they took the accounts private doesn't mean they're not still using them. He uses TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, by the way, to post video content, mostly conversations with illegal immigrants. And he asked the individuals to tell those watching how much money they make, how they came to the U.S., and how wonderful it is to illegally enter and settle in the United States. He started this in July and has posted dozens of videos to YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. In one video, he shows an illegal immigrant who now owns a restaurant. The American dream is alive and well. That's on the video. It says, this is the story of a Honduran immigrant who entered the U.S. illegally 20 years ago. Hard work, dedication. He's now the owner of an expanding restaurant, and it brings in over $1 million a year in sales. Now, what would that possibly be other than a government taxpayer, government being the federal government, taxpayer benefit given and an encouragement to encourage illegals to come on up to the United States? Look what can happen to you. We're the greatest country on the planet. We know your life would be so much better here. When you get here, listen to what we're going to do for you. We're going to put you someplace on an interim basis, you and your family. If you have a family, we're going to feed you. We're going to clothe you. We're going to take care of your health care. We'll take care of your kids' education. We'll take care of your food. And by the way, everybody in the family will get a check every month for $2,000. How much do you get from the federal government each month? How much of your health care bill, your housing, including utilities? Oh, by the way, I forgot about the cell phones. They hand you a cell phone when you leave the border after they release you, give you $2,000 to put in your hand. Actually, it's a card that you can use anywhere. And it's on a United States account, so they can just fill it next month with $2,000 more. But they're so wonderful to these people who have nothing. So what are all the big shots doing for elections? What about the big Warren Buffett? He's not handling this election like he has in the past. His nickname is, he's the Oracle of Omaha. He's setting the record straight on any claims otherwise. He issued a statement that revealed that fraudulent claims have been circulating about the 95-year-old investor and chairman and CEO, Berkshire Hathaway. While Buffett has supported Democrat candidates in the past, he says he's now sitting out the 2024 race between Trump and Harris. In light of the increased usage of social media, there have been numerous fraudulent claims regarding Mr. Buffett's endorsement of investment products, as well as his endorsement and support of specific political candidates. This is in a statement from his office. Mr. Buffett does not currently and will not prospectively endorse investment products or endorse and support political candidates. Though Buffett did back Hillary over Trump, that was in 2016, and previously endorsed former President Obama, he did not endorse any candidate in the 2020 election. Now, is that a really important thing? No, it's just a fact you need to know. I don't know about you, but in America, where capitalism is the rule of the world as it comes to economic things and it comes with economic opportunities, I like to hear from and find out what some of these billionaires and multi-billionaires think about the really important things in our life. Not that they're going to be right all the time, nor am I going to agree with them all the time. I just like to know what other people are saying and what other people are believing, especially when it comes to the political system. So Harris is making plans for what if. She's not making plans to fix the economy. Oh, she tells us, I'm going to fix the economy. We're going to make it better for middle-class people. But she never tells us how she's going to do it. We've got to just trust her. She's prepared if Trump claims victory before the election results are certified. Now, she made a comment, that comment, during a sit-down interview with NBC's news reporter Hallie Jackson. Jackson questioned Harris about, what are your plans for the country should you become the first female president? That's the obvious question anybody's going to ask Harris. This interview occurred 2 weeks exactly to the election. It was Tuesday of this week. Jackson asked Harris what her plans were in case Trump declares victory before all the votes are counted. The vice president initially responded that she was focused on winning the election first, but said her team had the resources and the expertise to focus on that scenario if it occurs. When pushed again on whether she had teams in play, Harris said she understood that Trump celebrating a victory before ballots were fully counted is a possibility. She said, this is a person, Donald Trump, who tried to undo the free and fair election, still denies the will of the people, incited a violent mob to attack the U.S. Capitol, and 140 law enforcement officers were attacked, she said. Lie, 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 lie. There weren't 140 law enforcement officers attacked, and Donald Trump did not incite a violent mob to attack the U.S. Capitol, and if that had happened, those people would be charged for those exact specific things, and Donald Trump would be too. There's nobody charged with insurrection, which is the term they all throw out there because it sounds so sinister. She said it includes whether we are a country that values a president who respects their duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which she's not doing, tearing it, trampling it apart along with her partner, the current president. Every illegal alien allowed to step across our southern border is an illegal act, and it's a violation of a federal law. Those two, they have opened up the southern border purposely, and in doing so are violating multiple federal laws every day. By the way, in case you didn't know that, this is absolutely a violation of federal law a voluntary violation of federal law, which is an impeachable offense. Both Kamala Harris's vice president, Joe Biden as president, could be and should be impeached. Now, in my last conversation with Congressman Mike Johnson, the very last one, I brought this topic up to him. We know that the House has impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of DHS. He's the guy that's running all of this scam on the American people about illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. He's the guy that's doing it. But you couldn't get the Senate to even take it up to be considered. So what good is doing that? And his response, and I'm not quoting him, but just paraphrasing what he said, you're exactly right. You know, it takes a lot of hard work and preparation and doing an impeachment process, which means we have to shut down doing the work or most of or some of the work that we have to do for the people in the House of Representatives. So when we know for a fact there's no way Chuck Schumer's Senate would take it up and even take it up to discuss with the U.S. Senate, there's not a chance for us to get anything done. We've wasted a lot of time, effort, and energy and the people's money by doing an impeachment process. Let me just point something out. Our Constitution has embedded in it how the impeachment process is to be handled, how it's to be initiated, and what are the results, what are the charges that can be made constitutionally. It's very, very specific. And what I'm about to tell you is something that I tell everybody I get an ear when we're talking about legislation and when we're talking about many in this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, who just every day willfully step on any law that they disagree with. And let me tell you what they do. They just ignore it like it's not even there. That, my friends, is an impeachable offense. Now, I'm not an impeachment nut job. I'm not out there saying we need to just get an impeachment machine gun and start shooting everybody who does something we think they shouldn't have done. I'm not talking about doing that. But when they're confronted by the media, and very seldom do the media, and when I say the media, I'm including people like Fox News. They never ask these people this one question. These people would be any member of the House, the Senate, or the Biden-Harris administration. Why hadn't anybody asked this? Do you know there are two specific federal statutes passed by Congress that spell out exactly what is an impeachable event, how to handle that process, who it applies to, and what are the penalties for doing so? And it defines which acts need to or can be used in this impeachment process. And one of them is ignoring the U.S. Constitution and operating the government without the Constitution specific to the tenets that it spells out. One would apply to this one. Well, we don't like that law. That law is not fair, and we're not going to send people back across the border like Republicans want to. We're just not going to do it. Those people are hurting. They want a better life. We're tired of hearing that mess. You're doing what you're doing isn't violating the first federal statute. It's the second one that says any, and I'm paraphrasing, any person who assists, helps, or denies enforcement of the other statute, which is letting people come across the southern border who are doing so illegally, those government officials are also indictable, just like with the same penalties, just like that other law. Now, where are you going with this, Dan? We know that'll never happen in the Biden-Harris administration. No way possible. So why even bother to do this? It's real simple, folks. There's a plan in the Constitution that makes it very clear the powers of the legislative branch are the following. And I won't go through the whole list, but there are two specific parts that are pretty applicable to our southern immigration debacle. Number one, you don't enforce it, you can be impeached. And potentially, that impeachment could turn into treason. Now, if you got a little time today, do a search online, and the search say, what is the penalty in the Constitution for treason? Death. And it defines what treason is. And treason is exactly, by the letter of the Constitution, what Biden and Harris have been doing for 4 years at the southern border. That's number one. Number two, Congress can remove those people. How do they do that? Part of the impeachment process. And then the other thing that's in there that nobody wants to talk about, there's a process in the Constitution. I'm getting text after text about the microphones. I've got 25 texts, and I want to thank all of you that are doing it. James Posey, one of my buddies, he sent me one that says, you sound okay, makes you sound small. We both know that ain't so. I just got another one that says, your broadcast sounds different, not very much bass, sounds tinny. Again, I apologize. As we went live, the microphone, just studio microphone, just did this. Now, if I had had 10 more minutes, I could have flipped everything over, the whole program for the show, over to another part of the process where we do our setup. But it takes about 30 minutes to do it. Everything else works. I mean, everything. In just a second, I'm going to play you a commercial. But anyway, there's a way to change every law. Wait a minute, Dan. I thought you couldn't do that. Well, if it's in the Constitution, you can amend the Constitution. And it's very specific about the different ways to do it. Congress obviously can do it. But if you don't like it, the United States people can force consideration in Congress to either add a law, change a law, or do away with the law. Now, again, Congress has got to weigh in on it, but so do the people. The people have to vote on it. That's number one. Number two, Congress can just cancel any law on the books, not just in the Constitution, but the process is there to change or cancel any laws. It would have to go through both the House and the Senate. And I'm tired of hearing these people, and I'm not going to name names, but people that we all know that are in Congress, we can't get anything to pass in Congress. We only have a 2 or 3 point majority in the House, and we're behind in the Senate. They don't even have to take stuff up that we send over there. So we're just going to keep treading water. That's not the answer, folks. Our forefathers never wanted the structure of the lawmaking process to be one that has to be 100% of every person in the House, every person in the Senate. No, they knew there were going to be partisans. They knew that it's not a guarantee that everybody of the 535 people in the House and the Senate are going to agree on everything. You know what's different now than was different then? They would get in meetings in Congress, those who had been elected to the House and the Senate back then, they would get face to face. They would argue. They would try to convince you, you need to consider their side of any issue. They need to consider your side of any issue. And we were supposed to convince them to come over to our side for whatever reason or reasons. And it didn't have to happen in 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. The process is in the Constitution. Doing it otherwise is illegal. It's a crime. Not doing it means that the people that refuse to function in the constitutional legislative process the way it's devised, you don't like the process, change the process. You're in Congress, you can do that. But ignoring everything and just going about doing things exactly how you want to, many times in contravention of the Constitution, you need to be kicked to the chair. Do you really believe that? Oh my God. You don't have any idea how much I believe that. It is time for us to once again embrace the rule of law, period.
At Akio, we've been making the best in mobile phones for over 20 years. How did we get there? By putting ringtones in every commercial that make you think your phone is ringing. Whether you have a new phone, an old phone, or just leave it on vibrate, we make sure you always hear your phone in our commercials. It's our way of saying, we hear you. So don't be silenced when opportunity calls, pick it up. It's for you. Akio Mobile.
Ooh, he's in top form. Look at him speed past pineapples, tackling those juicy chicken chunks and chicken loaves. Nothing's between him and the crust now. It's the Super Pan Pizza with tangy garlic Napoli sauce and cheese in the crust. And it's in! Look at the cheese and sauce ooze out. Woo, what a finish.
First ever Super Pan Pizza with a burst of tangy garlic Napoli sauce and cheese baked into the pan pizza crust that's crispy outside and fluffy inside. Every slice ends great.
The following is an important time-insensitive announcement from Staples. Now, for an unlimited time only, Staples is drastically cutting their everyday prices on hundreds of products your business needs. That's right. The clock is not ticking. Walk, crawl, or lollygag to Staples, and you will not miss this opportunity. These are everyday price cuts. Take a four-pack of AA Duracell batteries, was $4.79, now just $2.99. But act now or later, because these Staples everyday price cuts will be around for a really, really long time. Price cuts like a two-pack of Scotch Magic Tape, previously $4.79, now just $2.99. And Scotch Packaging Tape, now just $2.29 for today, tomorrow, and pretty much every day till the cows come home. But don't hurry. These everyday price cuts are indefinite. To repeat, these prices will last. So stop by your nearest Staples whenever it's convenient and take advantage of these normal, continuing everyday price cuts. Thank you.
This is the truth your mama warned you about. TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And Dan Newman.
No, I'm not a robot stolen into the studio. We've got a little glitch, a little mouse, maybe a raccoon, whatever, in our system today, and it's made everything else just sound right. You're listening to a bumper, you heard a commercial, you heard Pete Moss, and then you hear me. I don't know what it is. I'm going to do this for you. You all know we got a problem with the microphone. I'm going to click going down a list of possible mic changes. You listen to this and you'll know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Here we go. Hello, how you doing? Hi there.
Hey, hey.
Hi, how are you doing today? Hello, hello, hello. Now that is supposed to be the sound of the microphone normally. Obviously, there's something's up. Here's another one. And then there's, hey, 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 a dance vocal, edge vocal, fuzz vocal. Here's a narration vocal. This one's called natural vocal.
Hello, this is telephone vocal.
This is tracking vocal. And this one's called tube vocal. Hello, everybody. Oh, my gosh. And then there's a whole list of... Oh my gosh, I can do things like, let's try this. How about this? Or this, or this.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi there. This is Dan Newman. Compressed vocal? Dance? narration. It goes on and on. There are 100 different versions. But the one that I've used since for 5 years now, this is the 5th season of TNN Live, it doesn't sound right. So I'm just going to stick with this one till the end of the show, and I hope it doesn't upset you. And if it does, there's nothing I can do about it today. We'll be good. I know for a fact that it's something in the program. It's not in the microphone. That's an important thing because microphones, studio microphones are pretty expensive. I would tell you how expensive, but Marianne's listening. I don't want her to know. And, of course, she's one that she piped up to tell me the microphone's messed up. Let's move on. Have you wondered about all of the allegations made by people on the left and the media otherwise? I mean, they're going crazy now, folks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He wants to shoot us. He'll have the military come to our homes, pull us out, and kill us on the side of the road. There are people that are actually telling other people that, trying to scare them to death. They don't care. They know it, but they don't care what you or I hear or see. They don't care about it. They got to do something to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. And it's not because he's going to do anything bad to the nation. We got plenty of that being done bad to the nation now in this administration. Did you ever think in January of 2020 that by October this month, so much of our nation would have been totally destroyed by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? I would have bet a lot of money that would have never been able to happen back then. And I'd have lost the money. And tragically, here's something else you got to know. They're not through yet. Even if they lose the election, they can do some really, really nasty stuff between Election Day and Inauguration Day in January. And don't think for a second they won't do it. Because they're going to try everything possible to keep Donald Trump from even serving as president. And I hate to even mention what I'm about to mention, but you've all thought it. And we pray about it. I pray about it every day. I hope you do too. We got to keep Donald Trump alive. Now, who would, back in 2020, who would have ever thought that was something to even be considered? I mean, after all, this is the United States of America. We don't kill presidents here. Well, we haven't lately. So, have you thought about what you particularly, personally want if Donald Trump gets into the White House, things that you want him to do? He got asked a couple of questions yesterday, and they both blew my mind. Not the questions, but the answer. Donald Trump says that if he wins, he's going to fire Special Counsel Jack Smith. And he said he would do it within 2 seconds of taking office. Trump said if he takes office, he's going to fire Smith. And he's doing it to stop this continued witch hunt that has plagued Donald Trump since he came to, not even to the White House, came down the golden escalator at Trump Tower back in 2015 to announce he was going to run for president. He was asked during an interview, Trump was, Hugh Hewitt is a conservative radio podcaster, and Hugh asked him whether he would first pardon himself, talking about Trump, or terminate Smith to remove the legal cloud hanging over him. Smith, remember, was appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland in 2022, and he's charged Donald Trump with pretty much everything, even stealing gas out of pumps in the middle of the night, also running over purposely garbage cans, tearing up people's stuff. You hadn't heard about those? Well, you hadn't heard about any of them yet. They'll stoop low, folks. They'll go as low as they think is necessary. Trump responded by saying, that's an easy one. I'd fire him within 2 seconds. He'll be one of the first things addressed. Now, Trump never holds back on his opinion of Smith. Trump has suggested before that he would fire him if he were president, call Smith a crooked person. Trump could order the Justice Department to remove Smith. Trump probably would not be able to do it on his own because Smith is not a presidential appointee. But let me tell you this. The writer of this story either doesn't know this or doesn't want you to hear it. Smith was appointed by Merrick Garland, and his doing so was illegal. Legally, Congress controls the special prosecutor, special counsel job. Completely. There's a law that was crafted by Congress, sent to the sitting president then, signed into law, and it specifically says the Congress has the sole power to confirm any special counsel before that person can work for the federal government in that task. And it also says that person cannot already be in the existing president's Department of Justice. Smith was. That is one thing that made his appointment illegal. The other is the statute expired years ago. It's not even in existence now. But wait a minute. How could they do that then, Dan? Joe Biden's in the White House. I don't know if you know this or not, but he is a Democrat. Chuck Schumer controls. He's a majority leader in the Senate. That's who would have to weigh in on confirm a special counsel. It's just more proof of all the things that Democrats say every day. I'm talking about from Hollywood to New York City talk shows, across the nation, television stations, politicians, they all tell us every day how horrible Donald Trump is and what he's going to do. Next time you hear somebody even say any of that, I challenge you to do this. Take out your phone. Hold it up to this person like you're going to record what they say and say, if they say he's a fascist, talking about Trump, say, here, I want you to tell me. I'm going to record. Give me one example of anything that proves that Donald Trump is a fascist or would be a fascist. Well, he said himself he would be a dictator. He wanted to be a dictator. Well, wait a minute. Give me the quote of what you're saying he said, just to make sure that you understand what he said is in the context of what he said. Well, he's going to call out the military. He's going to send the military to take out his political foes. Give me the quote. Where did you hear that? What TV station, what television talk show gives you factual information that Trump said he was going to do that? All those things I just told you, they're saying, they're preaching that and way, way, way more. Trump has never done anything that even comes close to that. If I follow you around for 60 days and I have access to pretty much everything you say all day long, all evening long, and in a public forum, I can take words, yours, out of context, and I can prove to anybody anything I want to prove that you said. I can cut your words. I can take them out of context. I can take part of a sentence, maybe even part of a word, and I can make it sound something derogatory to you that is damning to the nth degree. They never give facts. Their idea of politics, their ideas of governing have nothing to do with the facts of the Constitution, the facts in the rule of law, the understanding that states are the ones that have total control of everything that happens within their borders, not the federal government. They can say anything they want to. It's always been that way. We have the First Amendment. Every American, not just American, everybody who's in this nation has the constitutional right to express their opinions about anything. Now, there may be some aftermath of that, depending on what you say and to who you say it. That's a totally different thing, though. They are desperate. They'll do anything to keep Donald Trump from getting back in office because they know he's going to take America back to the center, conservative center. He's not in the tank conservative, and he's certainly nowhere near being an Adolf Hitler or a Mussolini, who was the father of fascism. Adolf Hitler, the father of Nazism. And we could go on and on and on with the totalitarian leaders. He's nothing like that. In fact, he's 180 degrees the other way. That's the thing they hate. They hate the fact that he tells the truth. He calls a spade a spade. He lets his actions follow through on things that he promises. And guess what else he does? When he messes up, he'll say, "I made a mistake. I made a mistake." Little bitty things they don't want us to know about that's going on in this administration, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they hide them from you. One thing that just frosts me and pretty much every conservative in America is what Joe Biden has done regarding our strategic oil reserves. You probably, many of you may not know that we, the people of the United States, we have millions of barrels of oil that belong to us that are stationed within our strategic petroleum reserve, and that's all to be used in the case of emergencies, national emergencies. It could be a war started, and we need to access oil very quickly. It could be these national disasters that happen, hurricanes. Look what we're dealing with right now. Fires, rampant fires, all of those kinds of things. That's what the Strategic Oil Reserve was created to do. Congress created it, but hey, a sitting president can use it like it's his own or her own. Biden has once again, just as he did with Obama, gone into the strategic oil reserves to use for political purposes. In this case, Joe put a lot, most of our strategic oil reserve, millions of barrels, into the system to keep the gas prices down during the election season. Did you know that?
We are back with Fox Business contributor Phil Flynn. We have him back, and he's here to discuss the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is at a 40-year low. You were just telling us, Phil, just before we lost you, that the Biden administration is misusing this reserve. Explain.
It is. This was a reserve that was basically built to protect the U.S. economy against oil price shocks. But President Biden started to tap this reserve for political purposes. The first time he did it, Rachel, was to send a message to Saudi Arabia. You know, he wanted to make Saudi Arabia a pariah state. And when Saudi Arabia didn't do his bidding by raising production, he released oil to send them a message. So that was purely political, and it backfired. It probably led to OPEC production cuts that have kept global supplies low and kept prices high. And it's also hurt investment because people don't want to invest in U.S. oil if the government's right. going to intervene in the market.
No, absolutely. Also, this was interesting. Joe Biden released 180 million barrels, but we only have cash for 10.5 million. Where's all the other money?
Where's the money?
Right.
Where's the money? That's what I want to know. You know, the U.S. taxpayers paid for this oil, you know, in good faith, right? And the government, it seems like whenever they get their hands on some extra money, you know, they can't keep their hands on it. They have to spend it. You know, in fact, you know, the Biden administration at one point was bragging, well, we sold oil when prices were high and we're going to buy it back low. Well, that's only good if you can actually do it. If you don't have the money to buy it back, you're going to keep inventories low. And the chances of a dramatic price spike that can hurt Americans is a lot higher.
Let's play a game, Phil. Let's guess where that money went. I call Ukraine. What do you say?
I would say you're a pretty good guesser there, you know. And I'd say the other place has been China. Well, I know where the oil went. A lot of it went to China. So I don't know. Xi Jinping is probably right in an oil barrel today. I don't know.
Yeah, well, just as we've depleted, and Europe, by the way, we encourage Europe to deplete their reserves. We've depleted ours. China beefing up theirs. Interesting.
Very, very interesting. Where did that oil go, or the money that they got when they sold that oil? It wasn't for somebody else. It was probably part of that money, the billions that have really been given to Ukraine, which Ukraine's nothing but a slush fund for American Democrats in office. Everybody knows that. It's always been that way. Why the heck, in the middle of the Obama-Biden administration, do you think out of the thin air, Barack Obama made Joe Biden his emissary with the nation of Ukraine? What did Ukraine have to do one-on-one with the United States at that time? They're just another big country, lots of land over there in Northern Europe. Just another country. We don't do this for other nations. Barack Obama named Joe Biden the go-between the White House and Ukraine and sent Joe over there. Joe was over there dozens of times on U.S. business, government business. Yeah, right. We've got an election coming up. We'll hit a week away next Tuesday. Does it seem like it got here too quickly? I can't believe we're already here with it. I'm loving the fact of seeing all the numbers of people voting early. I'm not going to get into an extended conversation about voting. I think everybody knows where I stand. The greatest, safest voting system on the planet happens in Afghanistan, of all places. And again, if you're a regular, if you just joined us, please let me accept my apologies for this studio microphone. Something in the system, it flipped during the last 10 minutes before we went live on the show. And it's something that's going to be a little bitty tweak, I promise you, after I get off the air and we start looking, clicking buttons, punching things, we'll find it. And certainly before Monday morning, for the show, we'll have it all straightened out. That's why I sound a little funky. You may think that's nothing unusual, Dan. You always do. That's okay. But back to the election stuff. Why is Afghanistan the safest, Dan? Well, you go to your voting place, and you have to present picture ID. Even in Afghanistan, if you're one of those people that are a sheepherder out in the hills, if you want to vote, you're going to have a government ID. And then they watch you vote, paper ballot. They watch you vote. And then you stick your finger, your index finger, in a bottle of indelible ink. It doesn't go away for 2 weeks. And you take your index finger and you put your fingerprint beside your vote. And you can't wipe it off while you're standing there. So why do they do that? Well, that's to keep somebody from voting in the wrong place, and it keeps people from voting when they're not supposed to vote. And you can't cast multiple votes on the same issue because you've got a blue finger. Well, what happens if you do cheat? Well, if they catch you cheating the first time, in front of a bunch of people, they make you put your hand down on the table and they cut off your index finger. And if it ever happens again, if you do it again, they kill you, public execution. Ask me how many second-time voter fraudists have ever done so in Afghanistan based on history. Obviously, the number is zero. They've had a few on the finger, but not on the life. Do you think we need to go to that extreme? Listen, here's the conundrum we all face, and it nauseates me beyond. It doesn't matter to me in the United States of America. Oh, every election I'm part of, I've got my thoughts on whoever's running, any issue that's on a ballot. I do that. I'm all in. I am. But I don't want everybody to vote and anybody then to vote more than once. I want every vote to be legal. And every person that has a right to vote does so legally. But then I go off the edge and I get to this. Voting illegally in a federal election is a crime. I want every wrongdoer to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I don't even need to go into my reasons for it. You know exactly where I'm coming from. There is no question, and anybody that wants to counter what I'm saying, please feel free to do so. Call me. Call me live. I won't even screen your call. I'll throw you up live on air if you want to call and talk about that. There are and were millions of illegal votes cast in 2020. Millions. Well, they filed lawsuits and every judge kicked those cases out because there was no proof. That is a Democrat Party ball-faced lie. There are several cases. In fact, when I say several dozen cases that actually ended up going forward in state courts, and voter fraud was proven in those. The other ones, there were many that got thrown out of the court. You know why? The person filing the lawsuit did not have standing to file that lawsuit in those particular courts. Some of those cases, many of those, hundreds, are still open from 2020. We had a truck driver on this show 2 days after the 2020 election. He's a truck driver, and he drove an 18-wheeler full of boxes of mail ballots to Philadelphia the night of the election. Not only did you hear him on this show live, he testified in court in Philadelphia. That is one of the cases that the judge in Philly threw out because this truck driver didn't have standing. But let's not look back anymore. Let's look at 11 days from now. Look at what's happening in this particular election cycle already. Election officials in Minnesota, last week they fired a ballot courier after he was spotted with unsecured ballots in the back of his van. While walking through the parking lot of Edina City Hall on October 18th, the man spotted a Hennepin County courier vehicle. The rear door was ajar. Inside the back of the van were approximately a dozen boxes of unsecured ballots. Surveillance video shows the unsecured ballots were left exposed in the parking lot for 10 minutes with the back door open. The eyewitness who snapped the photograph, and I'm looking at it right here, told KSTP television that he's concerned about a fair election, telling the news station this is exactly what can't happen. One day after the witness spotted the ballots, Hennepin County officials released a statement acknowledging a lack in protocol had occurred. You think? The statement said, the protocol for transporting ballots is that they are to be secured at all times, and Hennepin County has alerted its courier of this incident. Hennepin County acknowledges that this lapse in protocol occurred, should not have happened, and is unacceptable. Corrective actions have been taken by the county and its courier to prevent any recurrence. Officials fired the election worker who left the ballots unsecured. Now, because of that, the lapse, the security lapse, Hennepin County officials inspected the unused ballots and determined every one of them remained legitimate. Hennepin County has determined, this is in a statement, that all expected ballots have been accounted for, found no evidence of tampering with sealed transfer cases. This is done by comparing the ballots received from the courier with the record in the statewide voter registration system for all absentee ballots accepted by cities. The comparison demonstrated a 100% match. This step is routine in the ballot integrity process, occurring with every transfer. County staff have also inspected individual ballots and determined that absentee ballot envelopes within the cases were received in sealed condition. This inspection is also a routine election integrity process. Minnesota Secretary of State, meanwhile, Steve Simon, a Democrat, said the incident was totally unacceptable, yet he chalked it up to as a teachable moment. I'm looking at the back of the car. I'm looking at the ballot boxes that are stacked inside it. All but one of those boxes has what looks like a seal on the side of it. But there's one box, and it looks like it would have probably 100 ballots in it. That's at the back of the pile, like the tailgate comes up, and it's sitting right there, first one. There's no seal on it. Just saying. You know, you got to believe the government. I mean, they're the government. They wouldn't lie, would they? Well, Kamala Harris, she's missed a couple of days of politicking, campaigning this week. Don't know why, don't know what's going on. Her latest issues with her husband going public have really, we've been told by people, unnamed people from her campaign. I hate that. Unnamed. Sources have said that they are trying to craft a way to work around this because it's really, really bad. And so at the top of this thing, it's to get black women, conservative women, some on the fence, even some Democrats, to get them back in line to vote for Kamala Harris. MSNBC got into a discussion about this. I wanted you to hear it for yourself.
What are your feelings? And let me start with the women here about Kamala Harris.
She's a woman of color. I'm not putting her down because of that. And I'm not putting her down because she's a woman. I'm not a feminist, so I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I don't think that she has the personality. I don't think that she has what it takes to go up against Putin and go up against these other presidents that are built for this. I don't want to be scared because my president is scared. I want my president to feel secure and manly and about it.
We brought up gender, right? Like, do you think it matters that she's a woman and people aren't comfortable having a woman in a top leadership role?
No, I don't think that, because most men, they love their mothers. They love their wives. So as a woman, most men, they respect the woman, but she just don't have the qualification or the education to really run America, because she don't have the experience. She don't understand our struggles. Mm. And for me to believe you for another 4 years, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. You're saying the same thing that you said 4 years ago.
So the fact that she's the vice president,
that's
to you,
just the
is
bottom line.
You're like, you've been here, you've had a chance.
Yes. Well, for me, the very first time I ever heard the name Kamala Harris, it was in association to locking up parents for a truancy. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever heard of her name. And I really didn't understand how this person claims to be a black woman, but yet she's locking up black women and
black men and separating families.
This is the thing that is, Trump talks about this a lot. He says, you know, Kamala Harris became black when it was convenient.
Right. Yeah.
Can you talk to me about, do you agree with him on that? Do you feel like she's wearing her blackness?
Absolutely. When she swore into the Senate, it was as the first Indian American.
Thank you.
It's fine. We don't care. Yeah.
We all know she's not black. Let's understand that. We are all clear of that. But my point of view, like I told you earlier, she's already been there. She's in office right now.
You hear that? These are people that they've got past the black-white racial thing here. And, you know, you can't argue with the black woman. I mean, I'm a white guy, an old white guy. I can't say anything negative about a black woman or talk to anybody disrespectfully, and I'm not going to do that. But when they start talking among themselves and sharing ideas, they're not living in a vacuum, just like you and I don't live in a vacuum. They're having conversations with fellow voters. When you live in a community of like-minded people, you tend to trust each other. And it's kind of cool because we have lost most of the ability in our communities to have peaceful discourse. So what do? We don't talk about politics. I mean, think about it. You got a big family? When we get together, our family here locally and all but just a handful live right here in Northwest Louisiana, and when we get together at least once a month, the big family thing, we'll have 40, 50 people. Not everybody there has the same political philosophies or ideologies, and I don't ever go into these things saying, I'm going to talk to so-and-so about this, a political issue. I never do that, and it always comes up in any kind of setting, and not everybody there is a conservative. There are people in our family that are conservatives that are not registered Republican. And I've got my hand in the air. I'm not a registered Republican. I purposely changed that when we started this show 5 years ago. Louisiana used to only have, you could only register as a Republican or a Democrat. You were locked out if you were in the middle. They added that you can register now as an independent. And I registered there so that I could come on the air and be honest and say, I'm not a Republican. I do agree with a huge majority of the stuff that the Republicans in the Louisiana government, legislature, and our governor, and I agree with most of those that go through Congress, but I'm not a rubber stamp for any political party. Never have been, never will be. But we've got to get past the point where we don't want to discuss the important things of life that do include voting, elections, and who runs this country. We've got to find ways to trust each other enough to give the other person a plain, open, not chargeable atmosphere in the room to just basically discuss politics. Everybody needs to be confident that whoever they're going to vote for, and I don't care if it's for a garbage collector or a president of the United States, to talk to their fellow citizens and to have open conversations, sharing ideas, and explaining thought processes. We live in the First Amendment country. There's not a single country on earth that has a First Amendment guarantee like we have. We need to exercise it or they'll take it away from us. They're trying to in many cases already. Look what they've done with the social media outlets. In the 2020 election, they were purposely forcing social media outlets to censor people in their social media conversations. When it got exposed for several years, the media companies all denied it, but then they got busted. We've got to have peaceful discourse about everything. I thought it was really neat, those black women everybody in the Democrat Party. They just think if you're black, doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man, especially if you're black, you got to vote Democrat. You got to be a Democrat. We're the ones that know what you need. They're tired of hearing that. You just heard that black woman say that exact thing. I'm tired of being told I'm obligated to vote for Democrats. And it wasn't, that conversation wasn't about Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. It was about what's at stake for those people in this upcoming election. Democrats still, in large, the party leaders, I'm talking about people like Nancy Pelosi. Oh, man, I'm not a Catholic, but I almost did the sign of the cross on my chest when I said her name. Mitch McConnell, he's a Republican. He's so far left, he squeaks. Chuck Schumer, he's the majority leader in the Senate. These people are old, their state and their ideas and their ideology. And they're hardcore leftists and want and are demanding total top-down government control. If you didn't hear early in the show, and I apologize for the mic sound, it will go back to normal. It'll be normal, whatever that takes, by Monday. At the beginning of the show, we played a very short soundbite where Hillary Clinton actually gave an explanation of why Donald Trump is a fascist. Proof. And it's based on the fact that next Tuesday he's having a rally in New York City, Madison Square Garden, and Hillary goes all the way back to 1939. Maybe then she was, what, 20 years old? 1939, there was a big rally in Madison Square Garden. Think about that, 1939, right at the beginning of World War II. And there was a huge rally packed to the house of skinheads, Nazi sympathizers, KKK, whatever, all of the isms, those, they all got together in Madison Square Garden. So how did Hillary use that? It's about a 20-second soundbite. I'm going to play it again. Listen to this.
And, you know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it.
How can you draw a correlative with the two? We're not living in the 20th century. Hillary, you may still be, but we're not. The American people are way past that. But even if it is the same kind of thinking, how and on what basis can you claim that Donald Trump having a rally anywhere is for any specific reason? And I'll ask her, like I told you just 30 minutes ago, ask people when they make challenging claims against anybody, against Kamala Harris, against Donald Trump, against your mayor, your governor, make them, when they make allegations, tell you the basis, the foundation that they're basing that opinion on, they're telling you, and make them prove it to you. If I'd been sitting there, that reporter from MSNBC, of course, they bow at the idol of Clinton, so they would never do anything to upset Hillary Clinton. So the reporter just sat there and let her go. Hillary was spewing green vomit with her head spinning, and it was about Donald Trump. And so she pulls this out of wherever, I have no idea. And I would ask her, if I was this reporter, I would say, okay, Hillary, specifically, give me a quote. Donald Trump talks about Nazism, glorifies Nazism, glorifies people in Hitler's generals, those circles, the claims that you've been saying that are out there. Give me the specifics. Can you give me the quotation where it was said? Was there a video, an audio? We want to go find it. YouTube? Where is it? You're a very intellectual person. You almost became president. You were Secretary of State and a U.S. Senator and a president's wife. You've been a lot of places and have a lot more information about political things than I do. I know you would not make a wide sweeping allegation like this against Donald Trump if you didn't have concrete evidence that proved it. So would you share that, please? There's nothing to share. There's nothing there. The few mentions in Donald Trump's public life about Hitler were about Hitler's stuff and what he did, and they take just snippets of a sentence, not even an idea, and they try to turn that into an allegation or proof that Donald Trump is a Nazi. He's a fascist. And if you elect Donald Trump, here's what he's going to do. He's going to send the military to go after, either kill or imprison, all of his political foes. Right here in Louisiana, we have Serpent Head down in Louisiana. In Baton Rouge, he's got his own podcast, and he's absolutely said if Donald Trump gets elected, he's going to send members of the military to come put me in prison. They're floating out these allegations because in desperation they see the American people are not stupid. A lot of people have questions with some of us. You may have questions about me. Sometimes I do. But having questions about something and being able to factually prove a point and create a belief based on facts, that's part of the American process. It's part of democracy. Donald Trump's going to destroy our democracy. Give me one example. Just one. He was in the White House 4 years. He did a lot of things when he was there. He did far more things than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done. Give me one thing he did that shows any totalitarianism, any fascism, any communism, any Nazism. Give me one example of a thing where he did something like that. And guess what? It'll take you a while to find one. You know why? There isn't one. The few times that anything like that has been mentioned by Donald Trump, it's taken out of context, and it was usually laughing. But they'll do anything to beat him.
Real truth, real news. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Oh, Joey, I'm your one and only remote control. Turn that TV on. Press me here. Make it soft. Make it loud. Just don't turn it off. I'll do anything for you. As long as you want me to, you couch potato, you.
For longer lasting fun, use Energizer Max with Power Seal. Uninterrupted power that lasts 5 times longer. Energizer, makers of the world's longest lasting AA and AAA batteries.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your juvenile mate. Everyone has one. The guy that's fun to be around, but he's dangerous to be around. You've got to keep him away from your things, like your tools, your gadgets, and your girlfriend. So before you get your juvenile mate around, get your lips around a Dare Iced Coffee. The real Arabica and Robusta coffee kick will tell you what to do. Hire a jumping castle. Hours of fun for kids of all ages. A Dare Iced Coffee fix will fix it.
You remember that song, Chicago Stay the Night? I don't hear that very much. Well, why don't you hear much, Dan? I guess I don't play it. It's a good song. That's just one of many the group Chicago had. Well, we don't have a lot of time left. We're going to cut the show just a little bit short today so we can figure out what happened in our studio with our main microphone. It's supposed to be used tonight, so I hope that there's nothing wrong or that we do have a backup in the studio. I apologize again for the sound. I really appreciate you sticking around for all the stuff we heard. We're not done yet. I've got a few more things I want you to hear. George Conway, does that name sound familiar? George is the ex-husband of Kellyanne Conway, and George is one of the leaders of the Never Trump group that created itself during the Trump presidency, and they were so-called Republicans that are totally rejecting the Donald Trump version of Republican. Who else is in that group? The Bushes, the former vice president, Dick Cheney, of course, Liz Cheney, his daughter, and many, many other. George is one of those, and he made a fool of himself yesterday. Mayra Galeen, you remember that name? She is the sister of Vanessa Galeen. Vanessa was tragically murdered by a fellow soldier. Her sister's burial has become the topic of conversation the last 3 days, as it's featured in a hit piece from The Atlantic that was aimed at former President Trump. Mayra responded to the piece, this is the sister, saying that she didn't appreciate how her sister's death was being exploited for political gain, and she defended her impression, Mayra, the sister's impression, of Trump at the time of the tragedy when it occurred. She said, wow, I don't appreciate how you are exploiting my sister's death for politics, hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes she made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted President Trump today, she wrote. George Conway, who has nothing to do in the government, has no credibility whatsoever. And I never understood how Kellyanne Conway married him, because he's a little bitty, pompous, short, fat attorney that thinks he knows everything about everybody. Conway jumped into the fray after Mayra put that on X, defending the piece from The Atlantic from the sister of the victim. No one is exploiting your sister's death here, George said. This isn't about her. It's about Trump's sociopathic behavior. He displays it publicly and privately, and his contempt for anyone else's lives, including those of men and women in uniform who made the ultimate sacrifice, is apparent to anyone who chooses, unlike you, to open their eyes, he said. Well, Mayra, she wasn't done. She shot back with a zinger, noting that Conway boasts about being an Atlantic contributor in his ex-bio. And she tweeted this, is that why The Atlantic is in your bio? And boy, then everybody began to pile on George Conway. Yeah, you told that victim's sister, George. Hey, dipshit. Her own family said it was not true. You're using a death of a service member to feed your severe TDS. That's Trump derangement syndrome. Her own family said it's not true. You just hate Trump so much because the media told you to. You don't even know why. You're such a waste of oxygen. Trump is the one demonstrating sociopathic behavior? And then another one. Are you mansplaining? Scott Ritter. While expecting George Conway to do his due diligence before posting about Trump is a tall order, the fact that the vast majority of the sources cited in this hit piece have denied saying that which has been attributed to them shows once again his lack of political acumen. And Bauer tweeted, go after the grieving sister, dude. That's the spirit. Your elevator ride to the bottom of humanity is nearly complete. Listen, George, he's a lawyer, Washington, D.C. lawyer. That should tell you enough. How in the heck he got Kellyanne Conway to marry him is beyond me. She's a beautiful, very intelligent woman, and he looks like a little gnome, a little fat gnome. I guess when we get older, we all change physically, don't we? I started off a little below average, and I think I went down a little bit after that. So where else do we go? George, we'll leave George alone. I want you to hear what Victor Davis Hanson has to explain about the voting process and the changes in the United States over the years. I've always wondered how the process got away from everybody going to the poll on election day. And then we have, you know, absentee ballots, and they're supposed to be in a fail-safe system where nobody can mess with them. And then we had COVID, and it turned into mail, all of that kind of stuff. Victor Davis Hanson took a little time last night to explain exactly why and how this all happened.
The problem, you see, John, is that in 2020, we entered a great experiment, something that the left had been calling for, but was so absurd for years that no one took it seriously. And by that I mean, they were clamoring for early voting that has already taken place. So it's sort of like calling a baseball game in the sixth inning rather than letting somebody come back in the ninth inning. So we have early voting in most states, and we have what we don't use the word absentee ballot, which in my day, if I was ill or I was out of town, I had to give an excuse. I wrote the registrar and I was mailed an absentee ballot. When I voted, I always had to show an ID. They crossed my name off. So under the guise of COVID in March, April, May of 2020, teams of Democratic lawyers went to Michigan, went to Pennsylvania, went to Georgia, et cetera. And they cherry-picked particular states. And they said, it's not fair to the dispossessed and the underclass to have to deal with COVID and show up at the polls. So we want to say that if you mail in a ballot, it doesn't have to be there on the night of the election, 10 days in some states. Or some people, you know, they're confused. They don't speak English. They only have their first name. So if they don't have the complete name, that shouldn't count. Or they don't have the right address. And of course, the registrars can't, you know, they can't be accurate every time. So if you get a ballot, they mail it to you and it doesn't match the ballot, maybe that's okay. And maybe if you apply at the for a driver's license, you apply for unemployment, you apply for disability, you apply for a building permit, whatever contact you have in a state agency, they will mail you a registration packet, and which will come to a ballot. So you can register in six different areas, a different slightly different name, same address. So my point is that when they did all of this, suddenly election day in these states was only 30% of the electorate participated. 70% had either voted early or through mail ballot, which was highly irregular. But then when you looked at the rejection rate by states, it was no longer the 4 to 6% of ballots that were rejected. It dropped precipitously to 0.3, 0.2, 0.4. So with double the ballots swarming these registrars, and then they were not authenticating them at the same rate they had done in the past, people got very skeptical. And then they had these new terms they sprung on the American people, ballot harvesting, which somebody knocks on your door and says, here's a registration packet. You can register the same day, fill it out, and here's your ballot. As soon as you do, I'll be right back with a ballot. Or ballot curing, where a candidate says, I'm behind by 2,000 votes. What are the votes? What are the ballots that are rejected? Oh, this person, I'll call him up and I'll bring him back to the polls and he'll change his ballot. All of that was new. And so that created deep levels of skepticism, especially when the ballots came in very, very late. And then people would be watching television and Trump had this big lead. And this was primarily a Democratic phenomenon. About 65 to 70% of the mail-in ballots were Democratic. So Georgia, Arizona, on those evenings, Trump was 80, 90,000 ballots ahead. And people went to bed and they woke up and he was behind. And they couldn't fathom it, and they got angry about it. And it wasn't explained. And conspiracies filled that void, you know, about the voting machines were rigged. It was all done in March, April, and May with the changing. And that those changes are still in effect. So not to be too windy, but to answer your question in particulars, I'm very worried about it because some states have required a license, very few. But the only thing that gives the Republicans and the conservatives some ray of hope is this time around, unlike 2020, they are mailing in ballots and they are telling voters, do what the Democrats do. Mail in the ballot now, early vote now. And when you look at swing states like Pennsylvania, there's actually been more mailed in ballots from the Republican side than the Democratic side. And when you look at overall registration, in most of the swing states, the number of Republicans is much greater and the number of Democrats is much smaller than the 2020 election in relative terms.
Interesting take from an expert, somebody that studies all the topics and things of interest and has proof and facts when they speak about it, not like Hillary earlier on. Just because there was a Nazi crowd in Madison Square Garden in 1939, she infers from that Donald Trump, who's having a political rally next Tuesday, Madison Square Gardens in New York, means he's going to do a Nazi thing. There's so much untrue stuff. It's incredible how much is out there and how many people get away with saying and claiming anything. One more thing before we come to a close. We hadn't heard much about Hunter Biden lately, other than he's still in trouble. But an interesting thing yesterday, Donald Trump was asked about Hunter Biden. Now, Hunter, what he's already been convicted of, it's going to put him in jail behind bars. And he's still got another big trial underway that's going to add to it. It's almost certain there will be additional charges against him. Interesting, and a very thought-provoking question was asked by a member of the media to Donald Trump yesterday. Would he, if he's elected, Donald Trump, would he pardon Hunter Biden? Now, before you hear the former president's response to that question, put in context what he'll have to do if he does decide to do that. He's going to have to be forgivable. He's going to have to forgive all the Joe Biden stuff, the Biden-Obama stuff, the Biden stuff, the Biden stuff, the Biden stuff, Kamala Harris stuff. He's going to have to forget about all of that. He's going to have to forget about what they did, the Democrat parties did to him when he was president. He was impeached twice, found innocent both times, but he was impeached twice. In that context, one would think if it was Hillary Clinton, if it was Joe Biden, if the question came up, you can bet your bippy, they wouldn't excuse the child of, if it was one of Trump's kids. Oh, no. Here's Trump getting the question and his answer.
You've talked about wanting to unify the country if you're elected. If you are president again, in the name of unity, would you consider pardoning Hunter Biden?
Well, I wouldn't do anything that would be overt in terms of Hunter. It's a sad situation. But I could have done that with Hillary Clinton. She was crooked Hillary. She's crooked Hillary. And I said, wouldn't it be terrible to take the president of the United States, put his wife in jail? And she was Secretary of State, aside from everything else. You're going to take the president's wife and put her in jail. And I tempted Dan. You saw that when they were going, put her up, you know, lock her up. And I'm going, nice and easy. People don't remember that. Nice and easy. And we won. But wouldn't that be terrible? And then I found out that when I came in, over nothing. Look, I got two impeachments and I won. I'm winning all the cases. How about the case in Florida? The big case was the one in Florida. I won that case. What they've done is use the FBI and they've used the Department of Injustice to go after their political opponent. And it has never been done in this country. And people say, am I going to do that? And the answer is no, I don't want to do that. It's so bad for the country. The precedent they've set is so bad for our country. But I could have done it with Hillary, and certainly you do it with Hunter or whatever, but I don't want to do it with Hunter either. And I'll bet you the father probably pardons him. Let's see what happens. But he's a bad boy. There's no question about it. But I don't want to hurt people. I really don't. I have to say this. The country has to heal. It has to get better. We have a really this tremendous anger in this country from the stupidity that we're watching. 4 years of gross incompetence, 4 years of stupidity, and she's worse than he is. I believe, I watched CNN last night. I watched her performance on a town hall or whatever you want to call it. She's not even coherent. And we've had that for 4 years. We're not going to be able to survive another 4 years. We're not going to be able to take it for four more years.
I would think that if anybody on the planet Earth had a right to reach back out and do a quid pro quo, Donald Trump would be the guy. You know, Hunter Biden made his bed, he's got to sleep in it. My personal opinion is before Joe Biden leaves office, he's going to, even though he said over and over again, I'm not going to pardon, I'm not going to give him a commutation, I'm not going to do anything, Hunter's going to live out what he did. But for the declared enemy of Joe Biden, the 36th president of the United States, against his political opponent, if I was Trump, I'd have to think twice. I'm just saying, folks. Well, regardless, forget about the studio mic. It's going to be good. You have a wonderful weekend. And we will see you or hear you Monday morning, 9 a.m.